Christ at UNT since 2007 because I'm convinced that this campus desperately needs the gospel of Jesus Christ, because many people on this campus are devoted to pluralism, devoted to the idea that anyone is right in their own eyes. Just go around and ask students on campus. You can use the microphone. The microphone is here. The microphone works. Last time I checked. So the microphone, that's proof that it works. The microphone is here for anybody that has a rational or intelligent question about the Bible or Christianity. We'd also like to talk to you today about indoctrination and what does it mean to go to a liberal campus. You know how many students come up to me week after week and they tell me, don't you know that you're at a liberal campus? Why don't you go to a Christian campus, right? And the reason why we're at a liberal campus is because a liberal campus needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many students have I talked to on the microphone that are committed to the idea of pluralism, the idea that any worldview is valid and every worldview is equally valid, and that usually it begins by people talking about, well, people are entitled to believe whatever they want. Of course, that is not the Christian claim. The Christian claim is not that people are not entitled to believe whatever they want. They certainly are. People can't believe whatever they want. That doesn't make it true. That's the problem. And so what we have debated and argued for, and what we've contended for year after year, is that Christianity is not just one option on the table of religion or philosophy, but that Christianity is the only option on the table that will get you to the truth. If you are interested in the truth, what we're saying is that only biblical Christianity can provide you the foundations for meaning or morals or beauty, metaphysics, meaning reality, ethics, meaning behavior, morality, and epistemology, meaning the theory of knowledge. Now, for years, we have challenged students that are not Christians on this campus to come and to give a defense for how they can know anything to be true without God. And year after year, we have never heard a single student be able to give an account for how they can have knowledge of anything without God. That is, not at least not consistently. Not that atheists don't know things. Oh, they certainly do. It's not that atheists cannot be intelligent. Oh, they certainly are. In many cases, more intelligent than Christians, of course. It's not that what we're saying is that atheists don't know anything, or they don't know morality, or they don't live in a moral way. That is not at all what we're saying. What we're saying is that without God, you cannot account for your morality. You cannot give a rational explanation of your morality. You cannot account for why we have morals and meaning and beauty. You don't know why you're rational. Atheism, relativism, postmodernism cannot account for why you are studying today on this college campus. Why you study for a grade. Why you obey the rules when you're taking a test. Why you obey the laws of the crosswalk here. Well, some of you guys, most of you guys are jaywalking. but why do we obey the laws in the first place? What we're saying is that only biblical Christianity can actually account for why human beings live as they do, as rational creatures, as moral creatures. Only biblical Christianity can give you the foundations for meaning and morals and beauty. Why beauty? Well, because you and I are surrounded by art. We are surrounded by aesthetics. We are surrounded by things that we design, and we design them to be logical, rational, beautiful, artistic. And postmodernism has shown up in the area of art. Just recently in the news, an artist was paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for a piece of art. And what was his piece of art? Duct tape and a banana. And by duct taping a banana to the wall, just because of the artist and who he was paid hundreds of thousands of dollars. The question is duct taping a banana to a wall, is that art on the level, well, it, I care. There, that answers that question. Who cares? I do. I care, and many people on this campus care. A lot of, you know, one of the thing is that on this campus, many of the students here that I've talked to will tell me on this microphone that they don't have a worldview. They're trying to figure it out. They don't know what they believe. They don't know why they believe it. They don't know who they are. And that certainly conforms with my position as a Christian, that without God, in fact, you don't know who you are. Are there any atheists here at UNT that can tell us who they are, where they come from, who they are, where they're going without God? Anybody? Is there any atheists whatsoever on this campus? Agnostics, perhaps? People other than the Christian worldview that can come to the microphone and explain to us consistently, what are human beings? If you buy it, oh, microphone works. I don't talk off of mic, so you can use the microphone. Would welcome you to do so. As long as you're rational, not violent, and not vile, the microphone works for you. It doesn't matter if you're atheist, agnostic, homosexual, lesbian, whatever. Come on up to the microphone. The microphone works for you. We're glad to hear your thoughts. Yes, sir.
What was the question again?
The question is can you account for meaning, morals, or beauty without God? And I was using the example of, are there atheists or agnostics that know, what is man without God?
Yeah, so I'm atheist, but okay. I think man without God represents just like doing the best you can for the greater good. I don't think there needs to be a higher power like deciding what's good. I think it's up to the individual to decide what they think is best.
Have you ever thought about the idea of what is good? When you say good, that implies a standard of morality. What is the standard of morality that you're referring to?
I mean, I think it's a spiritual journey for everyone individually.
The standard of good?
My moral standard has changed throughout my life, and I can't even say that my current moral standard is the moral standard. I don't think there is a moral standard.
There is no moral standard. Is that what you're saying? Not ultimately, no. Okay, so doesn't it follow that... Okay, so if morals are subjective, then doesn't it follow that there is no actual morality at all?
Essentially, I guess.
And so you're content with a worldview that says that eating a sandwich and eating a baby are the same thing?
I think if the sandwich has meat, it's very similar to eating a baby itself.
So you wouldn't have a problem. So what did you have for breakfast this morning?
I had a bean burrito.
Would you be okay if your roommate in your dorm would have had a baby for breakfast?
No.
Why not? According to you, there's no morality and there's no distinction between one piece of meat and the other piece of meat.
I don't think there is. I don't eat meat.
Right. So welcome to your worldview. Your worldview stipulates that, one person opts for being a vegetarian, but that person is no different than the person that eats people like cannibals, like Jeffrey Dahmer.
I have plasma.
Once again, here's an atheist that came to the microphone incapable of accounting where morals, meaning, and beauty comes from. And his worldview, according to him, I can't even believe he said this, but according to him, it's quite okay if you eat a baby rather than eating a sandwich or something for breakfast. Wow, that's a first, and I think you heard it. So, I mean, wow. I mean, so according to him, Jeffrey Dahmer actually didn't do anything wrong whatsoever. We shouldn't have put him in prison. We should have just let him keep eating human beings, I guess. Unreal. Yeah, yes, sir.
No,
yes, sir.
Are we in rapture time?
What's that?
Are we in the rapture time?
Are we in the rapture time? No, because we'd be going up. If we were in the rapture time, we'd be going up already. You know what I mean? So the fact that we're still here. Oh, we definitely are in the end times. There's no question about that because the end times began during the life of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so the end times extend from the first coming of Christ to the second coming of Christ, where at the second coming of Christ, he will bring the end times to a close. But we are, in a sense, in the end times. Now, are you asking me Do we know if Jesus is in his coming is near? I would say it's nearer now than it was 2,000 years ago. And I would say that even more than that, nobody knows when Jesus is going to return and judge the world. But we know this for certain, that you can die any day now. And when, the moment that you die, you will face God in judgment. So the question is, my dear friend, are you ready for that? Do you have a Christian background? Well, Catholicism is, Catholicism, according to the Bible, is a violation of an essential tenet of the Christian faith. Because Catholicism teaches this, that you are saved by the grace of God, but you're also saved by what you can do for yourself. So in other words, it's called synergism, the idea that man and God work together in order to accomplish salvation. That is not what the Bible teaches, my friend. Okay? You ever thought about that? Well, most important thing of all, my friend, is to understand that salvation is all of God, and that Jesus Christ died on the cross not because we can save ourselves, but precisely because we cannot save ourselves. And so Jesus is a savior. He's not a helper, right? He doesn't help us to get saved. He saves us. You know, it's like people have made the analogy that, you know, it's kind of like you're drowning in the ocean. God comes by and throws you a life preserver. All you have to do is reach out and grab it and you'll be saved. That is not at all accurate to what happens in salvation. In salvation, the real metaphor, the real example that we should be giving is that we are at the bottom of the ocean, dead and rotting away as a corpse. God has to pull us out of the bottom of the lake or the ocean and breathe life into us, or we will perish and stay in our sin. You see what I'm saying? And so it's not like we just need a little bit of help, you know? God gives us a little help and we'll just do the rest of it ourselves. That is, and that's kind of what I see Catholicism teaching, is the idea that you basically save yourself. It's called auto-soterism, which means self-saving. Your only hope, my friend, is to look away from yourself, apart from whatever you can do for yourself. No moral righteousness of your own, no religious righteousness of your own, and look to Jesus Christ alone, his finished work on the cross, so that his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection are the only hope that you have for eternal life. And what the gospel tells you to do is to repent of your sin and to embrace Jesus Christ. And I hope that you will do that if you have not already. You have any other questions for me?
I do. I was wondering about his name. Is it actually Joshua?
Yeshua,
yeah. Right?
But in English we say Jesus. I don't walk around saying Yeshua every time, you know, when I refer to Jesus.
Okay, good to know.
But his name in Hebrew certainly was Yeshua.
Do you think
Yeshua HaMashiach?
Do you think it's important to kind of know more Hebrew to kind of like understand more of the meaning of what, you know, he's trying to tell us? Or
well, certainly not for salvation. Nice catch, Robert. Did you get that on film? Wow, that was a nice catch. That should go like in our B-roll for bloopers and, you know. That'll show you to let go of that thing, too. I wonder if that's going to be on this recording.
It is.
That's
so
cool. Well, how can we use that? The downward spiral of sin, you know. the great fall of man. But Greek, Hebrew, all that stuff, right? Is great for in-depth study of the Bible, studying the Bible very deeply, but essentially salvation lies in the saving power of the message of Christianity, that God so loved the world he sent his son, that those who believe in him will not perish but have everlasting